You know, it's funny, today is All Saints Day. All Saints Day. I was raised Presbyterian, and, you know, All Saints Day didn't exist. You had Halloween, but you didn't have All Saints Day where you really celebrated it. And to be quite frank with you, you know, All Saints Day is very special to me. And the reason why it's so special to me is because it was 38 years ago today that I actually started working for the Episcopal Church on All Saints Day at All Saints Church in Winter Park. 38 years, it's been a long haul. You know, I don't think I ever stayed any place for 38 years, you know, in the Episcopal Church of all things. You know, it's funny because early on in my time of working there, I remember hearing the story told by another Episcopal priest. His name was John Claypool, and he told a story about a writer that maybe some of you have heard of, Sam Keen. Sam Keen is, you know, pretty proficient writer, had been around for years. And Sam Keen told the story about how near the end of his father's life, although he was, I believe, in Kentucky, he got word that his father, who was, I think, in Phoenix, that he went to be his father in those last days of his life. He was at an assisted living. And he flew out there to Phoenix, and he got to the assisted living. And when he got in there, he found what so many of us have already experienced, where he sat next to his father, who was still cognitive, but really wasn't communicating at all. You ever have one of those situations? You sit there and it's like a big pregnant moment, but you really don't know fully. You know you're supposed to be there. You want to be there, but you kind of just don't know how to sort of go through the silence. As he listened to the silence, all of a sudden he felt this incredible sense that what he was seeing his father do was evaluating his life. His dad was going through, you know, did my life count? Did it matter that I was here? Did things really fall together the way they were supposed to fall together? You know, what was this all about? And Sam Keen said that when he looked at his father and sensed that, what he did was something that I think was nothing more than a spiritual gift. He said he looked at his dad, and without his dad even talking back to him, he said, "Dad, I want to tell you something. Number one, I want to tell you that I can't really evaluate how your life went. Not in the big scheme of things. I can't evaluate whether you were successful at your job or whether you even were a good husband. But what I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt, without any question, the one thing that I know, Dad, that you did, and you did so wonderful and so well, was that even though my brothers and my sisters, and especially myself, were not the easiest of all kids to raise, that we were difficult, there was never a time when we didn't realize that you took great delight in us. That you were delighted that we were born. You were delighted that we were in your family. That we were delighted just for our existence, even when we were the worst in behavior ever. That our very being was something that gave to you incredible delight." It's that word delight that I want to talk about in a weird way today. As you know, the scriptures for actually, All Saints Day are pretty much the same scriptures every year. The gospel's always the Beatitudes. You know, Matthew chapter 5, where it says, "Blessed are this, blessed are that." And it's all conditions of spiritual things that are going on. But it says very clearly that Jesus tells that to his disciples. It's interesting because he tells that to his disciples right around the time that he feeds the 5,000. It says he goes up on the mountainside and his disciples follow him. And then he begins to give them, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are the meek, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, blessed are those who mourn." And at every turn when he says the word blessed, he also gives the reason why, because you know what? If you hunger and thirst, you're going to be filled. If you mourn, you're going to be comforted. That somehow in the midst of this, no matter how difficult your life may seem, no matter how, is that somehow if you're connected to the Father through me, somehow if you're there, there's going to be a blessing that comes. There's a blessing that comes. Well, the word that's used for blessing in the New Testament, which is in the Greek language, is, they translate it, it's makarios. Makarios. Probably a more straight translation wouldn't be that makarios should say blessing. Probably a more straight translation should be happy. But I think the translators, in their wisdom, move that beyond, because I don't know about you, happy doesn't just seem like, you know, like, oh, geez, I'm so happy about this. You know, geez, my whole life's falling apart. I'm really happy. I'll be real honest with you. Just as you might have thought I had dementia a little bit ago, you know, and wanted to get a health professional in, I think that if I looked at you and I said, my life is falling apart, I'm so happy, you would say, there's a problem there. And so they use not a direct translation. They use sort of, in a sense, a more understanding of the word, and they say, blessed. Blessed. You're blessed. Somehow in the midst of this difficulty, mourning, hungering and thirsting for righteousness, meek, somehow in the midst of it, you still are blessed. And the reason why I believe that you still are blessed is because God takes delight in you. And you see, for me, that word that so many years ago in my experience with the Episcopal Church, in my experience with, you know, hearing that story from John Claypool about Sam Keen, I think that what it means more to me when I hear the word blessed is that God takes delight in me. I got to ask you a question. Do you really think God takes delight in you? I mean, I would venture guess a lot of you would say, well, I kind of know he does, but I'm not really sure he takes delight in me most of the time. And I think it's because, to tell you the truth, between you and me, for me, I think a lot of times I think I'm always getting evaluated on my behavior. You know, it's like, well, if I did good, then you're good with me. If I didn't do so good, you're not so good with me. But the truth of the matter is, whether you're doing good or whether you're doing bad, there's never a time, I believe, that Scripture teaches that God doesn't say, I delight in the fact that you exist. I delight in the fact that you are a child of mine. I struggle with you sometimes. I might get frustrated with you sometimes, but there is delight that God the Father has for you and for me. If you don't hear anything else from here on in, I hope you hear that. Because I think that's the good news of the gospel. I think that's the good news of All Saints Day. I think that's the good news, is that somehow God, in the midst of everything, that His creation, He is so grateful that you were created and then you play within His creation. I mean, after all, what does Jesus come? What's one of the names that they give Jesus when He shows up? For 10 points on the trip to the Bahamas. Okay? Emmanuel, correct? What does the word Emmanuel mean? What does that mean? God with us. You know, Emil Brunner, the great German theologian, said this. He said, when God became like us in Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us, it was as though the Father got on His hands and knees to play with His children. It's that kind of delight that I think is blessing. And it's when we come to that place of finally acknowledging, finally accepting, finally realizing that God takes delight in who we are, that in some senses, the things that we do that frustrate Him, the things we do that sort of irritate Him, somehow, if we realize it, I think they begin to diminish. But we can only do that if we put God in the center of our life by making Him where He's supposed to be, the creator of us. You know, I struggle with that. I don't know about you, but I having God the center of my life, a lot of times the things that are the center of my life are things I got to get done. The things that are the center of my life are the things that I have to have because, by God, I got to keep my life in order. Those, you know. But when I have God in the center of my life where I say, God, you know what? I don't know how anything's going to turn out here. I don't have a clue what's going to happen tomorrow. God, my health isn't necessarily always great. I'm getting older by the second that goes by. You know, I don't know what's going on. Well, God, but if you're the center of my life, it really doesn't all matter, does it? If I'm spiritually connected to you, you're going to get me through everything. Why? Because I'm one of your children. And my Father in heaven, he gets me through everything. Now, if I realize he's delighting in me, then how I get through everything changes, doesn't it? Changes the whole scope of the way you look at things. I mean, look at yourself. If you just got to get it done, you know, sometimes we can be really jerks. But if we go and try and get things that we have to get done, realizing God takes delight in us, the edge is taken off. It's like he takes delight in me. I don't have to do anything for that. It's grace. It's been given to me. I'm blessed by God. Even if nobody else knows it, I know I'm blessed. And there is a peace that passes all understanding that comes from the inside that affects the outside instead of the way most of us live, where we think if we get everything outside, then my inside will be right. You see, most of us do everything backwards. And yet what we've got to do is realize, no, it's inside out, not outside in. I repeat what I said to you before when I told you you could check out. Do you realize how much God the Father delights just in your existence? Even if you're totally screwing up right now. He just delights in you. And he hopes and prays and he has faith in you that if you realize that delight that he has in you, that somehow that will come and bring you to a place of peace and a way of meeting the things that are ahead of you in your life in a different way. And you'll be more in line with him and more in line with yourself than ever before. You know, it's funny, as I prepared for this sermon today, one thing I realized that has been going on since, well, for all the 38 years that I've been in the Episcopal Church and that I first discovered All Saints Day. I mean, in the Presbyterian Church, I knew about Halloween, but I didn't know about All Saints Day. But the one thing I realized that All Saints Day, do you realize this? Every All Saints Day falls directly before an election day. Every one of them. Now, let me just say this right out to you. As I approach election day, I might not be real happy with the outcome of everything. But because All Saints Day is here, it gives me the opportunity of how I'm going to meet whatever it is ahead, whether it be what I want or maybe not what I want. I got to ask myself, how am I going to meet it? How am I going to meet Election Day this year? And I'm going to meet it as a secular person? Or am I going to meet it as a spiritual person? A saint? We live in the greatest country this world has ever known. I have no question about that. I love the United States. I am so grateful that I live here. But the outcome of this election might not get the people that I want in there. How am I going to meet that if it doesn't go my way? Am I going to meet it as a saint? Where I say, we are in the United States, and united means that we don't have to agree on everything. And it might not have turned out the way I want to, but you know what? Somehow, God hasn't left us. God will never leave me. He delights in me. Am I going to meet it where all of a sudden I go through and, you know, for those people who don't agree with where I want things to go, You know, I look at them and so, it's your president. God, I hate that. You know, I mean, I've had people, he's your president. You know? How am I going to meet it? How are you going to meet it? Is your faith more powerful than your politics, or your politics more powerful than your faith? You got to ask yourself that question. If your faith is more powerful than your politics, then the way you will meet it is you'll meet it as a saint. You might not like what goes on, but to tell you the truth, you won't spend all the next 4 years trying to figure out how you can get rid of it. You'll spend the next 4 years saying, how can we pull ourselves together? We are the United States of America. In God we trust. Will we live in a way that brings us together and says, well, it might not go exactly the way I want, but God, lead me through it. Will we try and pray for our leaders? Or will we try and despise our leaders? Will we take delight or will we despise? That's the question. Because you see, we're called to be together. And as a Christian body, we're called to realize that God took delight in us. So somehow in the midst of it, we should work from that delight of trying to pull things together to make us stronger and make us even a better nation than we are today. Because we are a good nation. We are a wonderful nation. And I don't want to live any other place. I want to live right here. But I want it to be the best that it can. And it doesn't take just a leadership to do that. It takes all of us being leaders to do that. Are you a saint? Or are you going to be secular? Are you going to go and work from delight? Or are you going to work from despair? Are you going to trust that God's with you no matter what? Or are you going to move away from that trust and throw the peace that passes all understanding that is available to you within so that you work from the inside out rather than the outside in? As you come to the Eucharist this day, I pray that you come knowing God takes delight in you just for your existence. He delights in you. Take the power of that delight and use it so that others see that delight and others come together to where we are not others, but we are brothers and sisters. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.